its moment, and now the founders own a large chunk of not very much, rather than a slightly smaller chunk of an internationally successful business. By giving equity to a good angel, you will learn things in weeks that might otherwise take you years. The right angel can accelerate your business. They want their money back as soon as possible, so that instead of building a multi-million pound business in a decade, you can do it in 2 or 3 years. Then you will be worth millions yourself, and you'll be highly skilled and extremely well placed to do it all over again. Only this time, you can fund the venture yourself and keep all 100% of it. Approaching an angel. This is a list of websites where you can find links to several angel investors. British Business Angels Association, www.bbaa.org.uk. Angels Den, www.angelsden.com. UK Business Incubation, www.ukbi.co.uk. Brainspark PLC, www.brainspark.com. You should search the internet for others. Your local Chamber of Commerce will be able to put you in touch with local investors, as will your local branch of Business Link. When you've identified 4 or 5 angels who you would like to be a part of your business, approach them and expect to be asked about every aspect of your business and to articulate exactly how you will use their investment. The things investors like you to do with their money is to increase production or marketing or to exploit a new market. What we never want to hear is that you're going to use our money to pay yourself a salary. It's not that we don't want you to be able to pay your mortgage, but history is full of new companies where investment has been swallowed up in a matter of months by salary costs. And besides, if you are not getting paid adequately, you'll stay hungry for success. Getting investment isn't the end of your journey. It's just a bloody big milestone along the way. I have 4 rules that anyone pitching to me should always follow. 1. Give me a pitch. I understand. Don't overcomplicate things. Don't blind me with science or make me feel stupid because I haven't heard of a new craze or piece of technology. Simply tell me what you do, why you do it, why your idea is better than your competitors, how your customers will know you exist, and why you're the right person to lead the company. 2. Be honest and open. Give me simple, straightforward answers to my questions. If you don't know the answer, come clean. 3. Know your numbers. If you don't know how much you're offering costs to produce, or what you can charge for it, or its profit margin, then you're not going to impress anyone. You should have all sorts of figures on the tip of your tongue. How many competitors you have, what my return on capital will be, and exactly how you'll spend my money. 4. Tell me the exit strategy. I want to make money, that's why I'm interested. I want an investment to give me a 25% return within a couple of years. You need to tell me how much money I can expect to make, and how and when I can expect to get my cash out. What happens next? An angel might say, I'll give you all the money you want for the percentage you're offering, but that's very unlikely. The chances are that they'll want to cut some kind of deal. Some of the things that might come up are match funding. This is where an investor will give you some of the money if you get the rest of it from other sources. This is very good news. It will be much easier to persuade another investor if you've already got one committed. A non-dilution clause. This means that if an angel takes a stake in your company, that stake cannot be diluted by second or third rounds of fundraising. Dividend policy. The circumstances when dividends will become payable are set out in advance. Some investors want income as well as capital growth, and may insist on payment from profits in the short term rather than waiting for an exit strategy to realize their investment in the long term. Drag and tag. This clause ensures that the investor is entitled to the same share allowances as the founder. This allows the investor to protect the size of their stake and prevents the founder, who is usually the major shareholder, from benefiting from a sale of stock without the investor also benefiting. If the major shareholder increases their shareholding, the investor drags along and increases their holding by the same percentage. If the majority shareholder sells their shares, the investor tags along and their shares must be sold at the same time. You don't have to accept the angel's offer, and are expected to negotiate. If someone doesn't negotiate with me, I begin to wonder if they're likely to negotiate the best deals with suppliers and customers. Once you've accepted an offer, you will then enter into a process known as due diligence, and this is where a lot of deals fall apart. Your investor will ask for proof that everything you've told them about the investment opportunity is true. This can be a rigorous and time-consuming process, but if due diligence is concluded to both parties' satisfaction, then you can expect a large amount of money to be transferred to your account. Case study. Name: James Kahn. Age: 47. Job: CEO, Hamilton Bradshaw. Qualifications: graduate of Harvard's Advanced Management Program. www.james-kahn.com. I came from a business family, and I knew from the age of 12 that I would start my own business at some point. Business fascinated me, and the thrill of the deal, of success, was as exciting to me as music or football was to other people. I put entrepreneurs on pedestals because I thought that making your money from business was more sustainable, and that through business you could build a platform that could take you wherever you wanted to go. As a kid, I would look at a brand or a business, and I'd wonder what made the owner come up with that name, or figure out what advantages they had. My father's ambition was that I would join the family business, and until I was about 16, this was something I didn't question. But by the time I was 18, it just didn't interest me. It was too easy. So I started looking for a business idea I could develop myself. The way I saw it, I could spend 5 years getting A-levels and going to university, but getting experience of work would teach me more. My father was in textiles. I bought clothing he had produced, packed it in a suitcase, and went to Ireland to walk the streets, selling to shops door to door. It made me realize that I wanted to be in a professional business, with a nice office. I could have made money out of many of the ideas I tried, but if the idea doesn't suit you, then you won't see a future in it. I had an image of myself in a large